You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers beat Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, by a final score of 76-44, despite giving up the last 8 points of the game, I believe, in a game that IU's defense dominated in the first half, forcing Louisiana at one point to miss 25 straight shots over a near 14-minute time span. Really took control of the game there, got a lot of guys some opportunities to play, in some cases due to foul trouble, in some cases due to the flow of the game. But a really strong effort from IU in a number of facets, although there are a couple opportunities, if you will, as we move forward that I'm sure we'll talk about here. But IU moves to 4-0 on the season, and we're here to break it all down for you. So I'm your host, Andy Bottoms, here with the coach, Jeff Marlowe, and Kathy Amos to break down the game. And we'll join you here on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. So let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. I'm gonna probably cheat a little bit and combine a couple moments from the first half. But if you think about this team being able to hang a banner, I think you need a couple things. One, you need guys on the bench to step up. And two, you need to make shots. And there were some key stretches where they did both. There was one stretch in the first half over a four-possession span. There was a pretty odd lineup that IU had in. Parker Stewart and Xavier Johnson had picked up two fouls, so you're getting a lot of Christian Lander and Scoot Bates in the backcourt. And those two played well together. You had Michael Durr in the front court. Geronimo was in the game, I believe, at this point. And there was a really nice four-possession sequence. So it started with Christian Lander getting a layup off of a really nice pass from Scoop. Then two possessions later, Lander returned the favor, kicked it to Scoop. He drove baseline, kicked it to Scoop in the corner for a three. And then the play after that, they ran essentially the same set, but swung the ball back to the top. Michael Durr got the ball inside and scored. And so you had seven straight points from IU's supporting cast during that stretch. And those guys on the bench played really big minutes in the first half. And then from a three-point shooting perspective, you had a stretch in the second half where IU made three straight threes. Thought it was going to be four. Parker Stewart had one rim out. But Stewart made a three. Miller Kopp made a three. Stewart made another one. And then Stewart, like I said, had one rim out. And for the game, IU shot the ball really well from deep. They took a few late in the game that did not go in, but ended up being 10 of 19 for the game, 8 of 14 in the second half. So again, to me, those stretches of play exemplified things that IU is going to need to get over the course of the season if they want to hang a banner of any kind. So I'll double up on my Hoosier Proud banner moment there. So, all right. The banner moment, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel. And they're now in their fifth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their first as a presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And in case you missed it, Homefield recently did a brand refresh of their IU collection, adding three new items to bring their extensive IU collection to more than 40 items total. They have also have vintage apparel from more than 120 colleges and universities across the country, so there truly is something for almost everyone at Homefield. And the big thing to remind you guys about is with Black Friday, Cyber Monday coming up, this is a big one for Homefield. So they're having an incredible site-wide sale that starts November 26th, which is Black Friday, runs through November 29th, Cyber Monday, where you get 20% off all of their comfortable, high-quality shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies. Again, all items are going to be 20% off for the duration of the sale. No promo code is needed. But remember, items are subject to sell out. Homefield recommends ordering as early as possible so that their warehouse and shipping carriers have plenty of time to get shirts to you for the holiday season. So again, go to homefieldapparel.com today and start planning ahead for the Black Friday sale. Then on Black Friday, load up your cart and get 20% off your entire order. Again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, now it's time to move the ball, find the open man, get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Jared and Ryan are off tonight. Coach is actually covering the game as a member of the media. I did not get any reports from anyone that he was cheering on press row, but remains to be seen. We'll certainly let everybody know if that is the case. But we do have a couple folks who, rumor has it, or at least in some discussion to potentially do an IU women's postgame show. So not to put them on the spot, but Jared told me that was at least had been discussed a little bit. So First, I'll throw it to the coach, Jeff Marlowe, the host of the Grace Berger Show that some of you hopefully are listening to. I got a chance to listen to it, and he's really helped unlock Grace's half-court to three-quarter-court game just by being on the show. So that's paying dividends for the Lady Hoosiers already. So, Jeff, what are your thoughts on the 76-44 IU win tonight?
Well, I think for me, being the coach that I am, that I really liked – there were times in the first half, and I think I tweeted it out earlier, that there was times we were just stagnant. We were kind of playing some one-on-one type basketball, and we were – and I shouldn't say one-on-one. We just really were trying to hit a specific set. A lot of times it was Race or TJD down in the post, and we just kind of stood around. I thought in the second half, in that segment that you mentioned, Andy, and that's kind of what I marked down, that about – really about a minute 15 segment where we moved the ball and we got good open looks and we drained the three. And I tweeted out, when was the last time this, you know, we'd seen three possessions with three straight threes go in. And so I really enjoyed watching the ball movement at times. Now, the part that I think is, you know, I'm joking here because I doubt Coach Woodson has this type of punishment, but back in my day, there would have been a lot of bleacher laps coming tomorrow for 26 turnovers. But on the flip side of that, they held Louisiana to 19%. I mean, that's really hard sometimes to hold even a bad team to 19% for the game. And Louisiana came in playing pretty well. I mean, I'm not going to make it sound like they're a P5 team, but they were playing pretty well, and we held them to 19% for the game.
All right. And sorry, couldn't get off mute there. All right, and also joining us for we gotta get names for you guys' opening statements, but we've got Kathy Amos. We got Kathy's Corner. I don't know what we do here. We'll go with that for tonight. So Kathy, what were your big takeaways from the game?
Yeah, I think we already have a coach's corner, so I feel like I should have my own corner. But
there you go.
Yeah, I would agree with both what you have already said. For me, I think the biggest takeaway is just how much time and run our bench was able to get. So this is, I think, a great game for our bench to really get in there and get some good experience, including even Nate Childress, right, one of our walk-ons. So in terms of minutes, which they really needed, so some of our starters got into foul trouble fairly early on, right, Xavier. We have a number of people hurt. So I think it was just a great time for us to have a game like this where we had a lot of people come in that normally wouldn't have potentially get the number of minutes. And I'm sure we'll break it all down here later. But a lot of our bench players got more time than our starters did. And I think we really needed that as a team going into some of these games. So Coach Jeff already mentioned the turnovers, which I think it was a glaring problem. The other one that I'm hoping we can start looking at cleaning up and really soon before Big Ten play is our lack of defensive rebounding. The offensive rebounding, I know Louisiana had a lot of missed shots, so they had a lot of opportunities for their own offensive rebounds, but I think we really need to clean that up. It just seemed like we left a lot on the table there for them to be able to potentially get more points, right? So you have a team that's actually hitting their shots, so they, and we let them have those second chance and third chance points. I think we're going to see that really come back to bite us later in the year. So those are some of the downsides. There's so many, I think, positives to this. And again, I'm sure we'll get into it. But for me, the biggest positive is just the fact that our bench got a lot of run tonight, and I was happy to see them.
Yeah, so let's kind of talk about the defense first as we think about main storylines, because that was really that really allowed IU to seize control. Part of this, Louisiana missed some shots in close that you're probably not going to go 25 straight shots without making. But again, I think we saw IU's defense really come out and set the tone. They had given up 4 points at the under 16 timeout, and they didn't give up another field goal again until, you know, after the under four timeout to end the half. Gave up one free throw each during those middle three segments there. part of that was just a ton of fouls and things like that. But I think the defensive effort in some ways was just potentially even more impressive just because some of the bench guys had to come in. As we talked about, you know, Xavier Johnson, Parker Stewart in foul trouble, Rob Phinisee, who, you know, viewed as one of the best defenders on the team, was not available for the game tonight. Even TJD and Race sat for a pretty long stretch during that segment, as I thought Woodson just let that lineup play that was doing well together. So Jeff, you know, what were some things that you really noticed IU doing well during that stretch when they were playing stifling defense?
Well, I thought about this the other day, actually after the last game, and my son and I had been at the Northern Illinois game as well. So last couple of games, I've really been more impressed with TJD and how he's become really a rim protector. But I really noticed it tonight the whole team philosophy seems to be they're going to challenge you at the rim. And I thought, I agree with you, Andy. I thought Louisiana missed maybe some shots that normally might go, but I thought some of their misses were because we challenged a lot of their shots at the rim. Now that gets you some fouls, and that can be a little bit of a concern. But for the most part, especially TJD, at least until tonight, had been able to challenge shots and not really pick up a lot of fouls. But I really like that. And I think because of that, the other thing I'm really starting to see is they just apply more pressure on the outside. And when you know you've got somebody to protect your backside, you are going to be a little more aggressive. And I think that's why you see them pick up some steals. Hate to say the word deflections, but, you know, it's something that I think really makes a difference in the way they can guard on the wing. And then you also combine that with the types of guys that Coach Woodson has brought in, especially off the portal, or in the guys you look at he's recruiting, where they can switch three and four spots. So I just think defensively, there's a number of things there. Now, at times, they get a little lazy. I thought in the second half, they got a little bit lazy, a little bit complacent with that big lead, and it wasn't quite as intense. It wasn't as bad as against St. John's, but they were standing a little more upright. That was the one thing I kind of noticed in the second half. The defense got a little more upright, and they got beat a little bit more off the dribble even than they did the first half. But overall, for me, it's just the way they defend. Now, I would have liked to have seen them I agree with Kathy. One of the things that Coach Andranya had in his scouting report in the community was rebounding, because I really felt like if you could have defensive rebound, you could have got out and run and pushed tempo and gotten a lot of stuff in transition, and we struggled to do that tonight.
Yeah, it was I agree with what you said. One of the things I felt like after a while was that Louisiana was either rushing shots when they got it inside or just even didn't look at the basket a couple times when they got offensive rebounds, that they looked to kick it back out, which I thought was a lot of what you said, whether it was TJD or Race or Michael Durr or Geronimo in there really challenging shots. I thought that really threw them off a little bit. Louisiana projected to be one of the better teams in the Sun Belt and certainly had an off shooting night. You hold anybody to 4 of 34 in the first half. That's not completely on your defense, but it's certainly not luck either that you saw a team shoot that poorly. Kathy, I'll go to you on one of the other, you know, big things, and this was one that you mentioned a lot, so probably makes sense to go to you first. You know, the bench, Christian Lander, big opportunity for him, with Phinisee out, with having played well, in that St. John's game in that key stretch, and then really being called upon early in the first half of this one. Xavier Johnson picks up one foul and a double technical that was, kind of silly, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't mean silly from a call perspective. You know, he's trying to exaggerate contact that a guy's pushing him as they're setting up for an inbounds play, gets into it with the guy. They both get technicals. And then the play after that, plays defense with his hands, gets a second foul, and then sits the rest of the half. So there's really no safety net at that point for Lander to be able to come in. And I thought he did some things well. He struggled as well. Like so many guys, turned the ball over a lot. But in the first half, he played 13 minutes, was plus 13 overall, had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, did have 3 turnovers, had a couple steals, and scored 6 points. And so I thought he stepped in and played well. And you got other contributions from guys off the bench. Scoop had another solid game, ended up scoring in double figures again. Only one of only three guys in double figures, even though everybody who played scored. Geronimo ended up being one of seven. Nearly had a number of posterizing dunks that maybe if he doesn't try to make some incredible play, maybe a couple more of them go in. I don't know. But I thought he was active in the second half. So just a lot of good contributions, really headlined, I felt, by Lander, who has been a lightning rod in some ways for IU fans, just in terms of whether they think he should be playing more, whether he hasn't earned the playing time, all those kinds of things. But a really good building block for him, I thought. So feel free to jump in with your thoughts on him or anybody else on the bench that really stood out to you, since I know that was one of your key takeaways.
Yeah, for sure. So Lander had the four turnovers for sure, but he had six assists, right? So a lot of assists all around, but six between him and between X. So if you compare the two, if we look strictly at the stat lines, right, Xavier ended up with 2.9 for Christian Lander. We had three rebounds for Johnson versus six for Lander. The assists were tied 6 and 6, four turnovers for each of them. So if you look strictly at the stat line, it felt like Lander outplayed him. I think where Lander's probably struggling still and is going to struggle until he can add some weight, size is in his defensive play. There were a number of times I still thought he kind of got pinballed around, if you will. So he got down low and got beat off the drive and was struggling there a bit at times. But I think overall he really did have a good game. I enjoyed watching Lander play tonight. Geronimo, I think you get some of those dunks to go down. I think Lander's assists actually go up because a number of those passes came from him. The other thing I really enjoyed watching was the chemistry between Lander and Scoop Bates. There were some back-to-back plays where you had either Lander throwing it to Scoop in for some shots or vice versa. So it was around 10:49 or so in the first half when Tamar Bates got it into Lander right underneath on a fast break, and Lander made it and then followed up with Lander passing a baseline out to Scoop for a field goal out there. And I saw that a number of times between the two of them. So if I'm looking at my bench, and we're talking about bench right now, I really liked watching those two play together. I thought they really had good chemistry and they saw the floor well and saw each other well. So I like to see that and to see how it grows, especially since they're, I guess, technically the same class, right?
It was funny. They mentioned it a couple times on the broadcast. They're like, both freshmen. And I was like, I guess technically that's true. And really technically what Lander ought to be. But yeah, it was a little bit weird for them to be described that way. But definitely positive things. I agree. I thought those two were, that lineup was kind of, weren't really sure what you'd get out of it. But those were the pieces that really worked well together in the backcourt. Jeff, other thoughts on guys that came off the bench tonight and contributed, whether that be Lander Bates or anybody else?
Well, I really was going to kind of jump in there, and Kathy's last comment kind of really took where I was wanting to go. Was I really enjoyed watching Lander and Bates play together. The two of them seemed to have a little bit of chemistry. I hate to say a lot of chemistry because we just haven't seen enough of it, but in the stretch they had tonight, it looked like they knew what each other was going to do. Like they'd played, or at least maybe in the gym or in practice, you could tell maybe they've been on the second team a little bit and they've developed a little bit of rapport. They seemed to know where each other was going to be. And I really thought Kathy was right. I thought it was really important in a game like tonight where we could jump out to a big lead. And three of those guys off the bench, I believe, played 20 plus minutes. Bates and Lander and Geronimo played 20. That's all going to be helpful. And one thing we didn't mention is we were down Rob tonight. And I know a lot of the fan base knows that, but we were down a scholarship player tonight. And excuse me. And so somebody who'd been in the rotation, somebody had to step in, and then also Galloway. So somebody had to step in and take up the minutes for two people. And I thought they did a great job of that tonight. And the one thing I'll point out about Lander I really like is he will at least get downhill. I mean, he and X have that ability to turn a corner and get downhill and make the offense be a little more movement to it rather than playing side to side.
The other big storyline before we take a quick break here, I'm gonna say the shooting, but I'm gonna lead with Parker Stewart in that. He's the leading scorer for IU tonight. Ended up 6 of 7 from the floor, 4 of 5 from three, with the one miss I mentioned earlier, rimmed out. 16 points for him. you know, got in a little bit of foul trouble in the first half, but really did the exact things that I use looking for him to do. Made spot up threes, made a couple elbow jumpers on back to back possessions in the first half to help IU get off to a good offensive start, and then took and made open threes. And, you know, again, to kind of go back to what I talked about in the opening, I mean, if you can get that kind of consistent shooting and contribution from him, from Kopp, you know, Kopp made a three in that run, that really unlocks some things for this team that we hadn't seen yet. He basically doubled his point total coming into the season in this game. Really shot it well. I think we've all remarked that his shot form is great. Everything you look like it's going to go in, and that was pretty much what happened tonight. But you know, overall shooting was really solid for IU. They ended up shooting 53%, almost 54% in total, and like I said in the opening, nearly 53% from three and 77% from the line. So really good shooting performance led by Parker Stewart. You know, Kathy, did you see anything different from him tonight in the way that they got him involved, or anything that may have led to his success, or was it just getting a few more shot opportunities early, watching them both go in, and everything got going downhill from there?
Yeah, so for me, I think early on, 2 minutes in, I wrote down TJD, passed it out, good assist from TJD to Patrick Stewart for his first shot, and it fell in, right? I think seeing that shot went in maybe from the beginning helped. It also felt, though, to your point, Andy, they got more shots for him. There were more open looks. They definitely were able to target him more. It seems like in some of the other early games, they just haven't been getting him the ball. So I think, to me, it's a combination. I think it's seeing those first couple of shots go in addition to him getting the ball a little bit more. I wonder how much of it is competition. I don't know what Louisiana's previous defense was, but I do know from a block perspective, they seem to have been pretty good. I just don't know what their outside defense have been like. Do we have any stats on some of Louisiana's like previous outside shooting or defense against outside shooting?
I hadn't looked at a bunch of it. I mean, to me, what struck me in the first half when IU struggled a little bit, part of this led to the turnovers, is they really extended the defense and got into people. And the way the game was being called, to me, that was the invitation for IU to really try to drive it a little bit, because a lot of contact was drawing fouls. So I think sometimes when you get into those positions, you're maybe more apt to get beat than you have to rotate and leave guys open. But I have not had a chance to look. I can try to hop in now, but it looks like they already it looks like KenPom's already updated. So I don't know what it was coming into the game, but that was my overall impression of their defense, is that they were ultra aggressive and extended things almost too far, but. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Coach, I didn't know what you saw maybe defensively that may have led to some of those opportunities for him.
I just thought that he was a little more aggressive. I thought one of the things I thought, Kathy, I had that in my notes too, that she pointed out about the two minutes in, the first three came from a kick out from TJD, but I really liked the one where he got into the lane. He got a little, he's not the quickest kid. He's not just going to blow by you, but he used a little bit of his basketball IQ, was able to get a step. The defender was a little behind and he kind of gave a little stop, little head fake, got the defender out of position and then hit that 15 footer. And I think that was, from what we've been hearing, Andy, and I don't know how much you'd seen of it, but coming out of the Bahamas, that was kind of the game that I think we've been waiting to see, that little drive about two dribbles in, pull up for the 15 footer. And I think that opens up his three, because if you know as a defender that he can get to that spot, you can't get up in his grill. And I think maybe in those first couple games, he kind of settled for being out on the arc. Whereas tonight, I think he was just a little bit more aggressive rather than anything Louisiana did a whole lot differently than other teams did. But I also think, I thought really tonight, yeah, turnovers were an issue, but I thought there were some really good moments where we got the ball and moved it from side to side or from the post to the backside for a jump shot. And that's where I think Parker is going to really thrive in this system, is when you can get him on the backside when somebody comes to double a TJD or a race.
All right, well, that is going to do it for segment one. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll hit the meaningful moments that you might have missed and take a deep dive into the stats to see what we can make of those. So stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of the Assembly Call.
All right, you're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Jeff Marlowe and Kathy Amos, and we are breaking down Indiana's 76-44 victory over Louisiana. And now it is time for, got to dust my my postgame show sounds off here. We're ready to hit the
meaningful moments that you might have missed.
All right. Well, as we look at meaningful moments from tonight's game, there were some early ones. I guess I tend to go back to some of these ones in the first half where maybe you just forget just because time passes. But there was a play really early on. Race goes 1-on-3 to end up winning a jump ball that, you know, possession arrow at that point went to Louisiana, but IU then got the next one. But I think he really set the tone, and Race just did Race things. I know I got a text from Coach early in the game that he was just impacting the game in so many different ways. Ended up with 8 points, 8 rebounds. Two assists, a steal, and a block. Just another really, really solid performance for Race. So I thought he really set the tone. That set the tone defensively. So that was one that really stood out to me. So I guess, Kathy, I'll go to you first. Thoughts on, you know, not necessarily that play, but just Race's overall performance and what he continues to mean to this team.
Yeah, I loved Race's play tonight. I thought, again, he had great hustle, just like we've seen. So didn't play as much, but none of the starters did. So that was fine. I think the 8 points seemed like a quiet 8 points, but his 8 rebounds in particular stuck out to me. So I think that's where, if you're going to look at stat sheets and try to equate it to hustle, you can look at those rebounds and look at it. I was surprised he only had 2 assists according to the stat sheet. I thought he had a little more than that, or at least it felt like that to me. But again, I think for me with Race, I really want to see him try to stay out of foul trouble. That seemed like, again, he kind of got himself into that early on, which a number of our starters did. But overall, I loved Race. I've loved him for a long time. And so he just continued to build that love of Race for myself. But yeah, those are, I totally agree with everything you said. So I didn't have any specific other meaningful moments, Andy, than what you've already mentioned around Race specifically. I have other ones, but not that one.
Gotcha. Jeff, any give us a meaningful moment that you had jotted down. I know, Kathy, you said you got a couple, so I'll swing it back to you here in a minute.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and I think to a certain degree you kind of stole mine a little bit, Andy, with your banner moment. To me, it was still that stretch there in the second half. We went 3, got us, you know, possession 3, got another possession 3, and if this team can come close, and I know Jared's talked on this on the Thursday night show on AC Radio, and he's talked about it in some of the postgame. We shot 19 threes tonight. Yeah, 19 threes. If we shoot 19 to 25 threes and can hit 38, 37% or better, this team's got a high ceiling. And I really thought, to me, that was kind of the most fun moment of it. But I'll go back to a little bit I'm going to go back to Lander a little bit. We've kind of been waiting for the kid, and I just really liked watching him play tonight. You felt like his confidence was starting to grow a little bit tonight. And again, to him and Bates together, I mean, Scoop's a baller. That was something I was having a text with one of my friends, and just, we were just talking about how much as he gets more comfortable, Scoop Bates is going to be an absolute joy to watch, and he's going to be a guy that's going to provide a lot of minutes and a lot of production.
Yeah, he just continues to, and listening to him even on the Inside Scoop with Jared, just the way he talks about his game and what he needs to improve upon, just seems to have such a great attitude, and you'd see that as you go back. So Kathy, I know you said you had a couple moments. Things did you note?
Yeah. So the first one I wanted to talk about was, again, continuing on with our bench play. So minute and 12 left in the first half. So we're up by quite a bit at that point, right? I think they had scored like 7 points still under four timeout, which you've kind of mentioned already, but you had, Tamar got into the lane, had that crazy shot that somehow went in. And then Geronimo sprints down the floor, has the steal, pops it out to Lander. Lander goes down and finishes the fast break there with two defenders around him. I just thought that was a really great moment for our bench. I loved seeing that from all three of those guys. The other one, again, sticking with the Lander theme that we seem to have going tonight, I noticed at a minute and two left in the entire game, Leal gets shoved to the floor. I think he was fouled, but right before the camera cut away, you could see Lander going over and sprinting to help him get up. And I just loved seeing that from Lander. There's a minute and two left in the game and he's not stopped. Even if it is just sprinting over to help a teammate up off the floor, which I think shows a lot for the team chemistry as well. So that was a meaningful moment to me that wasn't part of the game action, but really highlighted to me what I think Lander's bringing to us as a team, is that he's really trying to go out and hustle, and he's really being a great teammate all around. So those are two things that I really enjoyed seeing tonight.
Yeah, I thought with him there was a play where he dove on the floor, and just really he continues to have struggles defensively, but it doesn't strike me as being effort related. It's just he's just learning. But I think from an effort standpoint, playing extended minutes for one of the first times in his time at IU, I thought he was able to maintain that effort during the time he was on the floor. And then, and Jeff, I thought one of the stretches, that stretch of threes that we mentioned, I think it was Miller Kopp. It could have been somebody else who passed up an open shot to give Stewart the one that ended up missing. I think that speaks to pretty good chemistry between the team. You had a guy who could have taken a shot that was a perfectly fine shot. Nobody would have batted an eye if he took it, but saw that Stewart was hot, recognized that, tried to kick it over to him. I thought that was important. And another Lander one, he went 1-on-2 for a layup there toward the end of the half. It just felt like a play he would not have had the confidence to make a year ago, but kind of settled himself in and went at somebody and was able to score. So I thought, good moments from him for sure. Any other moments that you guys noted that we want to hit here?
Yeah. I'll just step in here. To me, one that was in the second half is, and again, you never know with the way injuries can go in a thing in the season, but the Childress kid comes in off the bench, walk-on kid, drains a three. You always want to have depth, and the more depth you can have and a chance like that, I know people are going to say, well, walk-on and just getting some minutes into the game, but man, we were down two scholarship guys tonight, and one who was out for another. So really, we're down three scholarship guys tonight. So you never know. And Childress hitting, showed he could come in and hit shots. And to me, I just kind of go with that whole theme, Andy, is just hitting shots. I mean, we're used to maybe making our shots inside and shot 53%, 54% for the game. But like I said, it was so much fun to watch guys hit open threes tonight. They weren't always challenged. They hit shots that were open where they had their feet set. And that just was a lot of fun. And I hope, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's going to be the team we see going forward. But the other thing I'll point out here too, meaningful, I think Miller Kopp led the team in minutes tonight. He had 30 minutes. And I kind of noticed that middle of the second half when some of the other starters had been taken out, he was kind of the guy, the older veteran guy that Coach Woodson left out there on the floor with that younger group. I thought that was an interesting five they had kind of for the large part of that second half.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I noticed that too with Miller Kopp being the sole starter, they was playing with a lot of the bench. And that was multiple combinations of the bench too. It wasn't like he was only there with certain guys. He played there with multiple combinations. So it was a quiet night for Miller in terms of whatever we want to see from him stat-wise, right? 7 points. But he did have 7 rebounds.
Seven rebounds.
30 minutes. So I liked what I saw from Miller. It was a quiet night in terms of scoring, but everything else he did on the floor I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought during that stretch when he was with those younger guys, he made a point the one time you could pick up a little bit of the audio on the broadcast where he was really being the guy leading them, getting them together, and you know, trying to talk to guys about what to run. They had a little bit of a frantic possession before that, and I think you could kind of hear him say, next time, let's run whatever, and you couldn't hear what he said after that, but was really trying to calm guys down and do that, which I thought was key in that stretch. So, all right, let's transition, look at some of the stats from the game. You know, one of them, this is a stat from the show more than anything, you know, we're almost 35 minutes in and we really haven't mentioned TJD yet. And as Coach mentioned before we went on, it would be good to have Ryan on because it was a game that TJD only ended up playing 19 minutes after the discussions of last week. Although I did agree with Ryan, so I really can't give him too much of a hard time about it. But, you know, I think that speaks a little bit just to the balance and guys playing. You know, Kopp was the only guy to play over 24 minutes, and with those 30, he was a plus 34 for the game for Miller Kopp. But TJD did have 11 and 7, had a couple blocks, 2 assists. Did pick up 3 fouls, had a couple in fairly quick succession in the first half, but a solid game. But this was one where a lot of other guys were able to shine. So we can talk through him in a second, but I think this is probably the best place to hit some of the two negative points of the night, if there are, in fact, negative points to be had from a 32-point win. One of those was the offensive rebounding, which we've talked about. IU gives up, 21 offensive rebounds in total, only led to 11 second chance points, but did struggle in that area at times, even when the game was in doubt, I guess, depending upon what you want to say with that. And then 27 turnovers, those got inflated a little at the end, but not a lot. I mean, those were really a constant issue as you went through. You had, you know, Johnson with 4, Lander with 4, Geronimo with 5, Scoop had 3. Really struggled to take care of the basketball. A little bit of that was the defense, but I thought just got loose with it at times. So those, to me, in terms of negatives, that was it. So I guess we talked a little bit about the rebounding, but Coach Marlowe, you know, thoughts on the turnovers. How much do you think that's a function of the defense? How much is that a function of, at some point, IU getting a really big lead and maybe being a little bit casual with it? I guess how much does that worry you in a game like this, given the overall script of how the game played out?
The part about being a little casual worries me a little bit because we've kind of seen parts of that in previous games. And Louisiana did they were a little bit aggressive and especially physical down, you know, inside a little bit. And I thought maybe that got us, but I'm more concerned just with the turnovers. I just thought at times we were just flat out sloppy tonight. And it wasn't just the end of the game. There were periods of time when we just were sloppy with the ball, and that's got to be, you know, that's kind of got to get rectified. And we were joking off before we came on that, you know, in my day, that would have been a lot of bleacher laps that would have been run up and down some bleachers in my high school gym if we'd played that, you know, turned over that many times. I can't imagine they're going to run the steps at Assembly Hall like that anymore. But, you know, I'm sure that's going to be a focus on film tomorrow. The other one I thought, Andy, was the 21 rebounds. Yeah, we got away with it tonight. But when we play Syracuse in a couple of weeks with their size up front, we can't give up 15, 16 offensive rebounds and expect to walk out of there with that in that type of game with a win. So the rebounding, that has to get cleaned up. I thought there were times tonight we had good screen outs. We didn't go get the ball. we kind of stood around and waited for somebody to go get it instead of being the one who went and got it. And then they ended up getting the rebound. So some things to clamp on the film, but that's okay. In game four of Coach Woodson's first year, it's okay to have some things to clean up.
So Kathy, of those two warts from the game tonight, which one of those concerns you more going forward that you think maybe is a trend as opposed to just a function of the game?
Oh, you're going to make me pick one, huh?
I mean, nobody wants both to continue, but if you had to pick one to really shut down, what would you say?
All right. To be honest, I think I'm going to go with offensive rebounding. I have some hope for the turnovers just because in our first game, we actually had really low amount of turnovers. And so I know this team has it within them. Again, could be the competition. I understand all of that. I have not seen a strong defensive rebounding effort from this team, though, in any of our first games. So to me, that's one that has been consistent from game one all the way through this game. So for me, if I'm going to pick one, it's definitely going to be the lack of defensive rebounding or however many offensive rebounding the other team is getting, however we want to say it. But that's me. I'm going to pick that one.
But I'll put it in here real quick, Andy. We actually won the rebounding battle tonight. As hard as that may be to believe, 47 to 37. So I know it was bad, but I agree. We did get some defensive rebounds. We actually got 37 defensive rebounds. We just weren't getting as many as Kathy and I would like.
But we had a lot of opportunity, right? I mean, they did not shoot well. So we had a lot of opportunities for us to be able to get in just to be the second chance. We don't have, I know we get second chance points. I don't know how many second chance opportunities they had that they still missed. So I agree. We definitely won the rebounding game. If you look at it from a numbers perspective, I just don't think they should have had 21 offensive rebounds. That to me is too high. And again, like I said, I felt like I've seen this in previous games as well. So that's why it's concerning to me.
It's one of those, this is a potential downside. Either one of these stats is a potential downside of playing the schedule that IU's played outside of St. John's is you can get away with things in some of these games that you're not going to be able to get away with in others. And it's easy to say that maybe they fix these issues when the competition ratchets up. And maybe that's true. And maybe some of it is a function of game flow. Certainly the rebounding at times was a function of the terrible shooting of Louisiana and just the way the ball was coming off because the shots were so wild in some cases. But you do worry a little bit about some of that stuff is that do you get a false sense of security that you can do some of these things in a game that matters and still be able to come back from it. But it is a little bit of function of that. So I don't know. I'm not, I guess, crazy worried about it. But I think the turnovers are perhaps the more concerning to me, just because I think the shooting performance that you saw tonight, I'm not sure how replicable that's going to be. And I think that did that probably contributed more to the rebounding numbers than the than other things did to the turnovers, at least in my opinion. But before we go further inside the numbers, want to remind everybody this segment is sponsored by the Power Rank, where our friend Ed uses data and analytics to make accurate football and college basketball predictions. Also writes an incredible March Madness guide every year, which we'll have a special offer for you on once March rolls around. So for now, if you want any sports betting advice with a PhD edge, or if you just like understanding sports at a more analytical level, you should subscribe to Ed's free newsletter. So you can do that by going to thepowerrank.com/AC to subscribe. Again, that's thepowerrank.com/AC. All right, so digging back into the numbers here, I'll throw this to you first, Kathy. Any other numbers really jump out at you as you go down the stat sheet, either individual or team related?
Yeah, I think transitioning, I think we've beat the negative numbers pretty bad. Positive, right? We shot 54%, which is fantastic, including 53% from three, and Jeff already mentioned we took 19 threes. So it's not just a matter of what we made 53%, but we actually took quite a few, which was happy for me to see on both fronts. And then, of course, the assists. I don't know if we've talked about it a whole lot, but I think 22 assists for the team is just a fantastic number. And it's hopeful to me as well that six of them came from both Xavier and from Christian Lander. So 12 of our 22 coming from our point guards, the way we wanted to be, I think. That's how I feel anyway. So I like seeing those. Those are really fantastic. Otherwise, all the other positive individual ones, I believe we've kind of touched on quite a bit with the turnovers between our guards as well, and all of the assists. The blocks were pretty good. We started off really strong with the blocks, by the way, which is interesting stat to me. I think I read we were tied coming into this game with Louisiana for something around 5 or 6 blocks a game. For 17th in the country, and we ended up with 8, but 5 of those came very quickly. I think there was like something within the first five or 6 minutes or so. So we kind of tapered off, but I think Coach Marlow mentioned that we did seem to swarm around the ball a lot on defense. So I love seeing the blocks. I don't remember us in recent past having that many blocks as a team. So those are a lot of the things that stuck out to me that I enjoyed seeing for sure.
Coach Marlow, what about you?
Well, I'll just go right to the free throw number, 10 for 13, 77%. And for a team that, and for a fan base that it seems like lives or sometimes often dies with the way this team shoots free throws or this program shoots free throws, you know, we got to give them credit tonight. You know, the other night they struggled and we kind of hammered them in the chat. And I think you guys brought it up on the postgame show as well. But we got to give them credit tonight, 10 out of 13. And so let's give a positive there. And then also the other number I'm going to point out here as well is, I think at the beginning of the season, we talked about stocks for Race. Well, he had 1 steal and 1 block tonight. So his stocks continue to increase. And I just really, you know, those are the kinds of things that I like to see. I like steals. I was an aggressive type. My philosophy was more aggressive, and I really like watching this group. And so when I see us having 5 steals, yeah, I'd like for it to be a few more, but I also understand that, you know, the college game's a little harder, to get some steals. But I'm with Kathy too. 22 assists on 28 makes is a pretty really good number.
Yeah, that's what really stood out to me was the assist. I mean, the turnover number was not good. We discussed that already, but yeah, 22 assists on 28 made baskets is something that you don't see too often. And I think the other thing that I would call out is just contributions from every guy who went out there. So we talked about all 11 guys who played scored. 9 of the 11 grabbed at least 1 rebound. 8 of the 11 had at least 1 assist. So I think just a really solid game, and that's without 2 rotation guys. So you're getting a little bit further down the bench. Also didn't mention this, Logan Duncombe suspended, I believe, for 3 games, so he wasn't available tonight and didn't play. But overall, just a good team effort. And then again, you look down those minutes numbers, you had most everybody between 16 and 24 minutes with Miller Kopp the only exception on the high side of that. And then Childress had just 5 minutes, Leal just 7 on the low side. But you know, that's why I schedule these games, is so you can get a number of guys opportunities in these situations, rest some of your starters. And I think you should have more of that on Tuesday against Jackson State, as you get into that game. So just a really solid performance all around. I think we've hit most of the big numbers. You know, Lander, again, I think we've touched on him, ended up with 9 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, did have the 4 turnovers, had a couple steals, but the best stat sheet stuffing that he has done during his time at IU for sure. And just overall, we focused a lot defensively on that one stretch in the game, but overall for the entire game, Louisiana 14 of 73 from the floor for 19.2%. They were 2 of 10 or 2 of 20 from 3-point range, 1 of 10 in each half. Somebody pointed out in the chat, the free throw defense was even good as well. 58.3% from the line for Louisiana. So outside of that, I don't think too much to hit. Oh, 25 fouls on IU. I mean, can we get a game where the officiating doesn't just totally grind the game to a halt as you go through it? It became really hard to tell what was a foul and what wasn't, and trying to clean up certain contact. But it was 25 fouls from IU. I don't know, that seemed wildly unnecessary in a game that wasn't close, but maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me wanting to get the show started. I don't know.
Well, and you know me, Andy, I'm a coach. I was not, the officials got a tough job, but I was never very happy with them most of the time anyway. But I would like to see them let the flow go a little bit. I understand that you have a tough job, but there was right now the game I was at last week against Northern Illinois, to a certain degree the St. John's game, and even tonight especially, the flow's getting disrupted. And I know it's a non-conference game, but I still think one of the biggest things the Big Ten basketball has an issue with is the flow of the game isn't very good at times. It's just too many fouls, too many trips to the line. And then I think that comes back to hurt a little bit come tournament time when we, you know, when the game gets a little more, you know, they let more go and the game is more flow. And so I agree. 25 personal fouls on us, 17 on them. So that's 42 fouls. You know, that's over a foul a minute, you know, when you combine the two teams.
Got to give the people what they want. You know, you just need to do that. So, all right. Well, we're going to take another quick break here in a second if I can find the right sound to play. And when we come back, we will hand out our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award. And then we'll continue a new segment before looking ahead to Indiana's next opponent. That's all next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Nick Zeisloft. I never miss an open three, and I never miss an episode of The Assembly Call.
And welcome back. You're listening to The Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have already subscribed. Join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. Again, that's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Andy Bottoms here with Jeff Marlowe and Kathy Amos, and we are breaking down Indiana's 76-44 victory over Louisiana. And now it's time for our game balls. So, Kathy, ladies first, who gets your game ball?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Christian Lander on this. I know Christian has been, or young Christian, as Coach likes to call him. So we have young Christian and Big Mike, but young Christian tonight has been a polarizing figure for a lot of the fan base. And I will fully admit I've been squarely on the wait and see camp for sure. I didn't watch him in high school. I don't care about how many stars you have coming out. I haven't seen anything on the floor that has been impressive to me overall, other than tiny glimpses until tonight. I thought he was actually calming for us, which has been unusual. Xavier went out with his two fouls, and obviously Rob's hurt, so he couldn't come in, and Lander had big shoes to fill, and he had to come in and do it. He came in at that 12:31 mark, and I thought he did a fantastic job of what was being called on him to do. I was really impressed with him. So overall, just like the rest of the team, needs to clean up the turnovers. There's some sloppy pay. I think he, like we mentioned, I think I mentioned it as well. I think he would have actually ended up with more than the 6 assists that he ended up having if Geronimo could have just had a couple of those dunks go down that he somehow missed. But overall, I really enjoyed seeing Lander play. So for me, he gets my game ball.
All right, Coach, what about you?
I'm going to go with Parker Stewart. You know, for the first game where he came out and really showed what we've been waiting for him to do, 16 points, and 4 or 5 from three. So I'm going to, my game ball goes to Parker Stewart, because I think that's going to be the first of many games we see him do that for us.
As always, I guess put me in the position to have to break the tie, or I could pick somebody else and throw it to the chat mob, but I won't do that. I'm going to go with Parker Stewart as well, perhaps because I'll mention Lander here in a second for something else. But I just thought a really important game for him from a confidence perspective. Thought he was shooting the ball well, just wasn't making shots early on. But I think if IU wants to get close to what the ceiling of this team can be, they need him to be a guy who's able to make open shots. The first three that I think he made was on a kick out from TJD in the post. Like, those are shots that he's made. Those are shots that he made in the scrimmage against Belmont. I think those are shots that he made at least a couple times early in games. And then being able to put the ball on the floor a little bit, get to the elbow, make a couple jumpers there. Just thought it was a really strong game for Parker. So I'll give it to him. There's not too many not too many times that TJD won't probably get mentioned here. And like I said, it wasn't that he had a bad game, just didn't play a ton for good reason, not because he did anything wrong. But I'll take the chance to give it to somebody else when we can, because we will probably end up giving it to Trace more often than not, as we have so far this season. So Parker Stewart wins the game ball for tonight. So then we go to the Real Hustle Award. And for that, it is brought to you by our sponsor, by our friends at Evansville Security Services. It's based in the hometown of IU legend Calbert Chaney, and hopefully future legend. And tonight's Kathy Amos game ball winner, Christian Lander. Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. Remember, prevention cannot be measured, so let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to evansvillesecurityservices.com to learn more. Again, that's evansvillesecurityservices.com. So, all right, Coach, I'll go to you first with this one for your Hoosier Hustle Award.
Well, I'm going to take Kathy's choice for the game ball here. I'm going to go with Christian Lander with those 9 points and 6 rebounds and 6 assists. And I really just thought Christian really played well tonight. And I thought he's, you know, last game and a half here now, I really feel like he's starting to show something. And maybe that's just hope more than actually seeing it. But I've always been a kind of a fan of the kid ever since I saw him in high school. And I just really want to see him kind of succeed at IU. And I really think he can thrive in this system. But I'm going to go with Christian Lander for the Hustle Award tonight.
All right, Kathy, what about you? Who gets yours? I think we've established that you can't go back to the well and give it to Lander since he got your other one. I feel like that came up on another show. So I just to remind everyone, that's not an option for you. So who gets yours?
Well, I'll adhere to the rules. That's fine. That's no problem for me, because I'm still sticking with Lander for my game ball. And I was debating on my Real Hustle between Stewart and actually Tamar Bates. I really enjoyed the play I saw out of Tamar Bates, especially with Christian Lander on the floor together, the two of them. I loved seeing Stewart break out and finally hitting some shot for us, but I'll take a stand here and I'm going to go with Tamar Bates. I love Tamar Bates. I'm a big fan of him right now. And I really enjoyed seeing him on the floor tonight. I thought the only downside for him was the fouls. He ended up with 4 fouls, but he had 3 assists. He had a couple of rebounds. He ended up with 10 points. I think you mentioned it earlier, Andy, we only had 3 guys that ended up in double figures. He was a plus 13 when he was on the floor, played 24 minutes, which was fantastic. So overall, I enjoyed Tamar Bates. And for me, I'm going to give him my Real Hustle Award.
All right. A worthy choice there. I'm going to go with Christian Lander. I thought arguably his best game as a Hoosier, maybe not arguably, although the minutes against St. John's are pretty big, but just a really solid all-around game. And I think that's a lot of times what we focus on when we give out the Hustle Award. Maybe that's why Race wins it so much, because he ends up being a guy who does a lot of different things. But I thought that Lander was that guy tonight, being able to contribute, step in and play big minutes with Xavier on the bench, and ended up, you know, 9-6-6. I think you'd be real happy with that with your theoretically third string point guard any night. So but I think a lot of guys, you know, in a game when so many guys scored and did that, there's a ton of opportunity for positive contributions for a number of different guys around. But Christian Lander wins that tonight, and that award stays to a guy from the hometown of Evansville Security Services. So good for Christian, and glad to see him build on a good performance against St. John's and stack that with another good performance tonight. I think that's going to be huge for his confidence, just given how he was, you know, didn't play a ton at times last year. And even when he may have had a game that he played a little bit better, it seemed like the next game come back, not play a whole lot, some of those things. So I think really big for him to stack those games. And not clear at this point how long Rob Finnessy is going to be out. I would guess, given the opponent, at least on Tuesday, it would be another chance for them to sit Finnessy, give him a little bit of extra rest, get him through the holiday, and then kind of see how he is from there with the calf injury that is there. But with that, go ahead.
I think we do have to give honorable mention, though, to that Geronimo stare. Like, did you guys catch that when he had been knocked to the floor? And he just stared down that guy he didn't move at all. So I'm going to also give honorable mention for some kind of award to Geronimo stare down. So I want to throw that out there, too.
I like it. I think that even the broadcaster said something about staring into the guy's soul, which I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then they showed the replay. I was like, yep, maybe that seems about right. So that was good. So I'll give the folks in the chat mob a chance to get in their lingering questions that we started doing on the show last time. I'll talk very briefly about Jackson State, who is IU's opponent on Tuesday. Play at 7 o'clock. I think it's a 7 o'clock tip for that one. Jackson State is 0-4 currently, like so many teams from the SWAC. They play exclusively road games in their non-conference season, so they're 0-4, all four games away from home. They did open at Illinois and lost by 24. That was one of the games that Kofi Coburn sat out. Lost by only two at Louisiana Tech, who's a solid Conference USA team. And then today lost at Marshall in a game that featured IU's next two opponents. Lost by 14 at Marshall, 80-66. Their offensive numbers on KenPom are not good. 340th in adjusted offensive efficiency, so should be another chance for IU to really assert itself on the defensive end in that one. But you know, a game that IU should win. Probably the biggest thing is just looking past that with the holiday coming and things like that. But I think a very winnable game at the beginning of the season, and nothing that has happened thus far suggests that will not be the case. So That's your quick Jackson State preview. Trying to look through here for questions as I do that.
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll put in for an honorable mention real quick before we move on. And I probably should have done it after Kathy did. Was how about Anthony Leal? He only got 7 minutes tonight, but he came in off the bench in the first half. He was active. He got a run out for a layup. He hit a three in the second half. So he's, you know, there are times when you're only getting 7-8 minutes. I'm sure it could be easy to be like, you know, oh, I'm only in for a couple minutes at a time. But he's coming in and he's bringing energy. So Coach Woodson's message, in my opinion, is really getting to the kids. You don't know how much time you're going to get, but you better make the most of your time on the floor. And I thought Anthony really kind of personified that a little bit tonight with only 7 minutes.
Yeah, so I'll use this as the lingering question, because this is a guy we didn't really talk too much about other than kind of giving a little bit of context to why Lander played a little bit earlier and a little bit more. Franciscan Fireworks, will teams be able to get into Xavier Johnson's head during Big Ten play? I think it's certainly an interesting question, and it felt like he really allowed that to happen tonight and ended up basically taking himself out of the game. Again, the play gets a double technical on. He's really trying to exaggerate contact, as we've seen him do early on. And, you know, the guy takes exception to it, pushes him a little bit. He pushes him back. Like he had kind of gotten into the other guy's head at that point and then didn't just let it go and retaliated. And then, like I said, one of the next two plays, he's just overly aggressive defensively with his hands and essentially takes himself out of the game in key moments. And tonight, IU can survive that. In a Big Ten game, they may not be able to. And so I think just him being able to control his emotions was a question coming in with him, given the technicals that he'd had, he'd had at Pitt. And he showed in the St. John's game just how important he was when he got himself in foul trouble, wasn't on the floor. The game really turned into a how much can you keep him on the floor, because he was such a difference maker in that game, in a game they really did need him. There will certainly be Big Ten teams who try. A matchup with Brad Davison and Xavier Johnson, I'm not really sure what may happen in that scenario. But But Coach Marlock, I'll go to you first on this. I mean, what's been your impression of Xavier through these first four games? You know, the good, the bad, the emotional, the you know, some of those kinds of things that you think lead you to answer that question one way or another as you think ahead to Big Ten play.
Well, I think the one thing with me for Xavier is I like the chippiness. I like the fact that he has a little bit of an – I want them to be able to be on the floor and bring a little bit of attitude. But it has to be controlled. It has to be – you know, you got to know what it's helping your team. And the one thing that I kind of noticed tonight, and we kind of talked, I saw some stuff in on Twitter about, and again, I'm not trying to get all my information from Twitter, but we talk about the officials as Big Ten officials. These guys work a lot of conferences. They don't just work the Big Ten anymore. They're working the ACC one night. They're working the SEC a night. They're working the Big Ten. So they've had some experience with Xavier. Some of them are going to give him a little longer leash, but some of them may be kind of having an eye on him. So I think he's got to be able to restrain it. And I think that's one of the things Coach Woodson's really been trying to work with him on. But I like it. I like the attitude, but it can't get us a technical foul, and it can't, you know, it can't be a situation where, what if that would have been like a second or third foul tonight? You know, because a technical adds in a personal foul for you. So you can't. You just got to be able to know where the line is, and I think that's something the coach is going to keep working with him on.
Kathy, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot more to add. I think Jeff hit it right on the head when I saw the replay of what happened. It's hard to blame Xavier for getting mad. I mean, the other guy, to me, instigated it, but you have to have a cooler head to be able to walk away from that. And the first few games here have shown to me, I feel like he is way more important to this team than I originally expected him to be. And we cannot have him having fouls like that in a close game, especially if, you know, Rob is either hurt or maybe he didn't have quite the game flow that maybe he didn't have in the St. John's game, for example. We have to have him be able to stay on the floor and not have the silly turnover, or not turnovers, but technical fouls, right? We can't. So I think he has to somehow learn to control himself and temper that. So yeah, I am a little concerned about that too. And yes, I do think, based on what I've seen, especially tonight, teams can potentially get into his head. So it's definitely a lingering question in my mind as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think even in addition to some of that stuff and really trying to sell contact and do things like that, that's certainly going to rub other players, fans, things like that, potentially the wrong way. I can live with a lot of that stuff. He's just got to take better care of the basketball. I mean, he had a couple bad turnovers early in the game, and I think IU fans will be able to, like I said, be able to live with a little bit of that if some of the other aspects of his game improve. And I think you've kind of seen, you know, maybe the best and the worst of him over these last couple games, where, you know, he was one of the most important players in that St. John's win. And when things, they really needed him, he stepped up and made some plays, and tonight just kind of let things get away from him. Given the opponent, IU is able to overcome that. And so we'll see what happens with him going forward, particularly in the bigger games. I think that's really the one that's going to be critical. All right. So as we move forward with the show, just a reminder to check out our friends at Homefield Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And again, as I mentioned, they're running a 20% off everything sale, no promo code needed, starting Black Friday, which is the 26th, through Cyber Monday, which is the 29th. So make sure you go to Homefield Apparel and check out everything they have there, including some great IU gear. All right, it's time for last call. So, Kathy, I'll go to you first. Final thoughts on IU's 76-44 victory over Louisiana.
Yep, so I kind of have some in the game final thoughts, which was my lingering question around the game is the turnovers and the offensive rebounds. Again, we've talked about that a lot, so I'm not going to go into it. From a macro level, I'm starting to wonder about our non-conference schedule. I know we've talked a lot about it in the offseason and wonder if it was too soft. It's games like this that make me a little concerned. While I don't want our starters to have to go and play 37 minutes, like some of the closer games, do we have enough balance in our schedule that we're going to be able to play our starters and some of our main rotation guys enough to know what our rotation is going to be? So I look at the upcoming schedule and I start to get a little concerned around that, and hope that while the blowout games are fun, right? It's fun to win 76-44. We do need to have a little bit more close games to test us. And the St. John's game was a good one. The Eastern was the Eastern Michigan. The first game shouldn't have been. So I'm throwing that to the side. But the St. John's game was definitely a good test. But do we have enough of those coming up that's going to prepare us for Big Ten? That's my last lingering question I think I have for us as a team, along with the turnovers and the being able to offensive rebounding. Overall, though, I would say I loved what I saw from the team tonight. I thought there was a great opportunity to play different guys, exactly some of the things we want to do in these non-conference games, play different combinations of guys together, seeing some guys like Tamar Bates and Christian Lander get the opportunity to get a lot of run and get a lot of opportunities, I think is a fantastic thing for the team as a whole, right? We're getting things on tape that we can go back and look at. And as I think Coach Tonsoni says, we always coach to perfection. We'll never get there, but let's coach to it. This is going to be a good opportunity for the team to start looking at those things. So overall, I'm pretty happy with what the team did tonight, but a little concerns going forward with a couple of those micro and macro questions for me.
All right, Coach Marlowe, final thoughts on tonight's win.
Yeah, I'll kind of talk to Kathy's macro question a little bit more about the schedule. I think this year I'm willing to give them a pass. I mean, you've got a new coach, for the most part, a new staff and a lot of new players. I think you'll see Coach Woodson increase that scheduling a little bit here in the next couple of years. He's already stated he wants to play the best. He wants to play in places that are going to get, you know, the kids, you know, some exposure, whether it's on the road at places or at a place like Madison Square Garden, where he was talking about possibly lining up a game. But it is going to be a little bit of an issue when we go forward this year. And I'm sure that'll be something we hear a lot about, is we drop a couple tough games that we didn't prepare enough in the regular season. But I like our non-conference from the standpoint that at least our tough games in the Gavitt and the Big East Challenge and the ACC Challenge, we're going to get some decent play there. My big concern, and my final point, I guess, is more – I just think it's another time for them to get stuff on film. There's things that have to be fixed. We talked about the turnovers. We talked about the rebounding. There's some things even on the offensive end they've got to clean up. But I just think right now for this staff, they just need to get kids on the floor and get on film, and then they can start correcting some of those things. I'm sure we're nowhere close to where they want to be, let alone where we want to be. But I to me, that's the biggest thing. You got another game of film to be able to work on and get kids better and show them what they're not doing correctly and get that fixed.
That's what I love about IU fans. 32-point win that wasn't even that close was, I think, a 40-point lead at one point, and we're focusing on what needs to be done differently. But I like it. I mean, it's not wrong. Also, and I think it takes a page out of the Scoop Bates book. Anytime Jared's asked him questions on the Inside Scoop about what he thinks he does well, it somehow turns into a story about things that he doesn't feel like he's doing well enough. So, a lot of good points made there. Schedule wise, just to kind of talk in the macro, I think the challenge is going to be, I don't know that. You know, Syracuse, they just lost to Colgate by 14 at home. It's still going to be a tough road environment, but they probably aren't as good as what maybe you thought. And again, that was a game they didn't schedule. I'm willing to kind of withhold judgment on the schedule, overall scheduling philosophy, until you can see what Woodson's able to do after year one, because I think this year was very intentionally set up the way that it is to be able to get to the NCAA tournament, get some wins, and things like that. I think tonight's game, given the number of guys who were able to play, is exactly why you schedule a game like this and like so many. But as a number of, you know, both you guys and some other folks in the chat have pointed out, I think ultimately that's not the kind of schedule that this team should be playing. And so I'll kind of see what happens as we move forward from here. But does put a lot of pressure on them, both the Big Ten's performance and the non-conference so far, which has not been great, and the overall lack of quality games. It does put a lot of pressure on those remaining two big games that IU has, because those should be the ones that can at least move the needle a little bit as we go forward. But, you know, as for tonight, I think you continue to try to figure out what this team is really going to be, and you put each game gives you a little bit better idea, a little bit bigger sample size of what that's going to be. And I think the defensive identity that Woodson talked about in the offseason continues to show up more often than not in each of these games as they go through. And the offense is a bit of a work in progress, whether that's the turnovers, whether that's the shooting from game to game and different things like that. But overall, for what should project to be a reasonably decent team in a mid-major conference, IU just dominated them from basically start to finish. And the defense really set the tone. And I think that's what you're looking for from this team. And then you hope that the rotations and the offensive, you know, philosophy and all that figures itself out as you go through the season and becomes a little bit more clear. But game like this is great for so many things from a confidence standpoint. We talked about Lander at length. We talked about Parker Stewart. Miller Kopp had another solid game with 7 points and seven rebounds. Scoop scores in double figures again. I think you've got a lot of guys playing with confidence right now, and that's ultimately what you're trying to build in the non-conference before you get into the grind that is 20 games of Big Ten basketball. So this game is certainly another step toward that, and an impressive performance from a defensive standpoint and from an offensive standpoint at times. So, 4-0 and, heading into another couple winnable games here before that Syracuse game. So, again, opportunities to see can this team take what it does from, does poorly in one game and improve on it in the next one. And we'll find out on Tuesday night. But again, solid performance, 76-44 victory for IU. And that will do it for tonight's show. So with that, we'll wrap up. And if you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thanks to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you after the Jackson State game on Tuesday night. Until then.
Take it from me, Freddie Mac Swain Jr. Keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim. And man, go up and dunk the ball. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
All righty. Well, Jeff, Kathy, appreciate you guys hopping on and apparently putting up with poor audio issues for me. I can assure you that my friends at Cincinnati Bell were contacted earlier this afternoon about my internet quality as we were trying to watch football, and the our YouTube TV was constantly screwed up. So hopefully they'll be able to figure out what's going on. But anyway, so appreciate everybody going through with that. I think it shouldn't be on the podcast based on the way we record, but for those listening live, I apologize, and we'll hopefully get it figured out.
Good. Well, good luck.
Thanks for having us. Should be a great time. So, all right. Awesome. Well, I'm going to wrap things up so I can get this posted and, and all that. But again, thank you guys for hopping on short notice, and at least we had a good blowout to talk about. A lot of different guys contributed, so definitely a good one, and hopefully more of the same on Tuesday. That's one, as long as you don't totally overlook something, should be another game to get these guys some good run time. And let Rob get healthy. So
yeah, that's good.
All right,
fantastic. All right. Well, thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. I'll not be on the Tuesday show. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And
I won't be available Tuesday either. I'm doing a game on the radio here locally. So
nice.
I won't be available.
Awesome. All right. Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys. We will talk to you later. All right. See ya.
All right. Take care.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.